Hello, this is John Smallwood, certified financial planner, senior wealth advisor at Smallwood Wealth Investment Management, continuing the conversation of the Wealth Curve Blueprint and the Wealth Curve Scorecard. The goal of all financial planning is to reduce taxes today and in the future, reduce fees and costs today and in the future, reduce risk today and in the future. Most plans do the exact opposite. We can demonstrate that clearly. That's why we're doing this, to help you save more money, to help you put more benefits and more protection around your wealth, to generate more retirement income and pass more to your family. Those seven components are crucial. The Wealth Curve Blueprint gives you a bird's eye view into where you are in relationship to those components. The scorecard is really designed to understand, okay, I'm spending 25% on my house, principal, interest, and real estate taxes. Is that good? Because we know when we get into the concept of personal use real estate, my primary house, my second home, you know, third home for some people, my timeshares, whatever it is that you have in your plan. And we see all different types of things, but it's things that are not generating rental income that are for personal use that you use on an ongoing basis. The banks will lend you 35 to 40%, depending upon your income and your assets, for primary residences. What we have found by looking at so many plans over the course of our lives, okay, doing this financial planning for the last 29 years, is that if you have over 25% of your gross income is being allocated to principal, interest, and real estate taxes on primary and secondary homes, the odds of you being able to save anything are pretty low, okay? And that the plan is then not optimal, okay? So from a personal use real estate standpoint, I can remember early on in my career getting introduced to a potential client. They've got young kids. I'm getting in the car. I'm driving to visit them. I go to their palatial 5,000 square foot house, walk in, and it's echoing. There's no rugs. There's no furniture. There's no drapes. There's little tykes furniture in the living room. And the house is going to grow to the sky, and we just got the biggest house we possibly can get, and we're going to grow into it. And the problem is, when you buy that large of a house, it's not necessarily the principal and interest in the real estate tax. It's all of the other things that go along with it. It's the maintenance of the house. It's the utilities of the house. It's the lawn care and the landscaping. We've seen the big houses with no landscaping, right? I mean, it's just, yes, we may want that, but is it optimal? And is it going to allow me to continue on my savings rate? Most likely not. Something has to give, right? Real estate taxes, and with new tax law, we're not getting a big deduction for the state and local income taxes, or better known as SALT. We're basically limited to the $10,000, and then you're getting mortgage interest. But for many people, you know, with big real estate taxes, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, we're just getting the 10, where before we were getting, you know, the full amount. And if you live in a high income tax state, you know, New Jersey, New York, California, et cetera, you're not getting the benefit of those deductions either, right? So the past was, well, we're going to get a deduction for it, so it'll help pay for it. That's really not happening today, okay? When you're optimizing savings rate, you know, just kind of go backwards, right? We want to pay the least amount of taxes. We want to have a high savings rate. We want to have a good balance of our savings rate. We want to develop a lot of cash and have a high liquid asset rate. And that personal use real estate, in my accumulation phase, it should be 25% of the gross annual income or lower. But also, when you hit retirement, there's an optimal blend there as well. And if the real estate asset is 50% of the person's financial assets, so let's say somebody lives in $1 million house and they've got $1 million accumulated and don't have pensions, et cetera, a large percentage of your wealth is going to go to cover the maintenance and taxes on that house. It's really not optimal. Okay. There are strategies that can help you do this, but the key is putting that house so that it's optimal within your unique plan. Your plan is not your neighbor's plan. Your neighbor's plan is not you. Your brother-in-law is not you. You are a unique individual with unique circumstances that are different than all of those other people that you're encountering. The key is build the blueprint, see where you are, and how do you optimize what you currently have, and how do you make it more efficient so that it reduces it below the 25%, not necessarily selling the house. You know, how's it being financed? Is it a short-term rate? Is it a long-term rate, meaning a long-term mortgage or a short-term mortgage? Is the interest rate really high because when you bought it, your credit score wasn't good? There's all these factors that are unique, right? So by putting together the blueprint, one, you see what you're spending. Two, is it optimal? Three, what should I do? Buy a bigger house, buy a smaller house, sell the house, whatever. I mean, it's unique to the individual. So savings, personal use real estate really affects the liquid asset rate. It affects the savings rate balance. It affects the savings rate and it affects the tax rate. It has an impact on every shore.
Welcome to the end of the video. Smallwood Wealth Management is an investment advisor representative. The opinions expressed by Smallwood Wealth Management and guests on this show are their own. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented for this educational purposes only. Moreover, no listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as a receipt of or substitute for personalized advice from Smallwood Wealth Management or from any other investment professional and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Smallwood Wealth Management is not a law firm or an accounting firm, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Thank you for listening.